Well, hello and welcome back to the Archaeology News. I am, of course, your host, David Connolly, archaeologist and adventurer. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website, alongside Past Horizons Archaeology News and Tools. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details on each story, including that all-important source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Well, what have we got for you? We have the Clovis culture not being wiped out by a comet. We also have the oldest stone hand axes being unearthed. And at the other end of the spectrum, the early sweet potato trade. Human skulls are found, well, in fact, just one of them, was found beneath a Scottish golf course. It wasn't me, I can tell you. And archaeologists revise their image of the ancient Celts. 9,000-year-old remains are discovered in England, and we finish off with a story from Turkey about loom weights revealing weaving 2,500 years ago. And I just have to say a big thanks to Michelle, who pointed out, among other things, that the Chinese arrowhead from the last news may be, in fact, a Japanese arrowhead. I wonder why this form has been assigned the designation of a Chinese arrowhead brought to Japan. That will make you think. Now, to the Clovis comet catastrophe. Yes, comet explosions in North America 13,000 years ago did not end the prehistoric human culture known as the Clovis, for the simple reason that they didn't happen. Researchers from Royal Holloway University, together with Sandia National Laboratories and 13 other universities across the USA and Europe, have now refuted that a large impact or airburst caused a significant and abrupt change to the climate, arguing that other explanations for this event must be found, especially for the culture's apparent disappearance. In fact, using the words disappearance is wrong, because in fact what they did was they actually transform into what we call the fulsome culture. So it's perhaps wrong to think of the Clovis being completely wiped out and replaced. It's just a slow transition. Anyway, the researchers found no appropriately sized impact craters from that time period, no shocked material, or in fact any other materials of impact found in sediments. Samples presented in support of the impact hypothesis were contaminated with modern material, and no physics model can in fact support that theory. Professor Andrew Scott from the Department of Earth Sciences at Royal Holloway continued that the theory had reached zombie status. I love this. Whenever they're able to show the flaws and think that the theory is dead, it reappears with new, equally unsatisfactory arguments. So watch out for zombie theories in the future. Now, scientists in Ethiopia have unearthed and dated some of the oldest stone hand axes, dating to a stunning 1.75 million years ago. The tools roughly coincide with the emergence of an ancient human ancestor called Homo erectus, and fossilized Homo erectus remains were found at the same site. So says study author Jonas Beineni, the archaeologist at the Association for Research and Conservation of Culture in Ethiopia. This discovery shows that the technology began with the appearance of Homo erectus. They say, we think that it might be related to the change of species. However, proving that was tricky because the dating wasn't precise enough. So said study co-author Paul Rennie, a geochronologist and director of the Berkeley Geochronological Center in Berkeley, California. Human ancestors used tools as far back as Homo habilis 2.6 million years ago, but those, called Aldowan tools, weren't much more than rock flakes crudely knapped to a sharp edge. Nearly a million years later, more sophisticated two-sided hand axes emerged. The Acheulean tools could be up to 20 centimetres long. Tools of this type have recently been discovered several hundred kilometres away near Lake Turkana in Kenya, dated to 1.76 million years ago. The researchers found more than 350 of these two-faced Acheulean tools in Konso, Ethiopia. Indistinguishable in age from those found in Kenya, and in different layers that span about a million years of human evolution, suggesting the symmetric hand axes were widespread in the region by that time. The techniques stayed similar until 800,000 years ago, when the edges on the tools became more refined. Well, if you find something that works, why change it? Now, what's the difference This sounds like a terrible joke. What's the difference between a kumara and a batata? Well, very little, apparently. These are Maori and Spanish words, respectively, for the sweet potato. I didn't say it was a good joke, did I? It's been a long-held belief that the sweet potato was first introduced to Southeast Asia by Spanish and Portuguese explorers sometime in the 16th century, but a gathering accumulation of evidence is pointing to a much older and more interesting explanation. A team of researchers from the French Centre of Evolutionary and Functional Ecology has been working closely with a French Agricultural Research and Development Centre on the sweet potato genome and has found it to be extremely complex. By using temporal control from samples taken by early European explorers prior to the establishment of the Spanish and Portuguese trade routes, comparisons have been made with the native South American sweet potatoes, which have been known to have existed in the high areas of Peru over 8,000 years. They have proved that the first trade between these geographic areas occurred approximately 1000 CE, with a second wave by the Spanish over 500 to 600 years later, closely followed by a third wave by the Portuguese, but moving east from the Caribbean. The research team have placed this new evidence alongside existing information to strengthen, but not yet prove, the case for early trans-Pacific Polynesian trade. That is going to be a fascinating story once we have more research data. Now, to actually quite close to where I live, archaeologists are to investigate a human skull found by council workers carrying out winter maintenance in a sand bunker on the fourth hole of the Musselburgh Lynx golf course, which actually is the oldest golf course in the world, believe it or not. Officers from Lothian and Borders Police dispatched the remains to Dundee University, who sent their archaeologists to look at the site. They believe the skull, which belonged to a mid to late teenage female, now nicknamed Betty, is around 2,500 years old, possibly part of an Iron Age graveyard. As there is no pressing archaeological reason to remove the rest of her remains, East Lothian Council have no further plans to investigate. Though it would be nice to actually join her head back to her body, if you ask me. The Celts, talking about Iron Age people, Celts, I don't know if I can actually use that word, Iron Age people, were long considered a barbaric and violent society. But new findings from a 2,600-year-old grave in southwest Germany suggest that these ancient people were much more sophisticated. In 2010, on the site of an early Celtic settlement not far from the Hohenberg, beside a small tributary of the Danube called the Betelbühl, researchers stumbled upon the elaborate grave of a Celtic princess, a 3.6 by 4.6 metre subterranean burial chamber fitted with massive oak beams. It was an archaeological sensation at the time, and now, after 2,600 years, the chamber was completely intact, preserved by the constant flow of water. The Hohenberg is the centre of Celtic culture in southwest Germany. In its heyday, giant walls protected a city of as many as 10,000 people. Wealthy members of society led lives of luxury with Etruscan gold jewellery, Greek wine and Spanish tableware all being traded and used here. Elaborate pearl earrings, solid gold clasps and amber necklaces, and even a bronze belt are just some of the finds from the grave. Stacks of burial objects made of gold, amber, jet and bronze were discovered alongside the skeleton of the princess and an unidentified child. Researchers are also particularly interested in the plant and animal remains found in the chamber. The organic material is actually just as important as the artifacts themselves because it gives us information about the burial rituals. The researchers are also hoping to learn more about the Celt Wars of Domination, one of the greatest mysteries of Central European history. We still don't actually know why the Celts were advancing quickly from the 6th century BCE until the birth of Christ, and then the culture abruptly disappears. Now, archaeologists have proved for the first time that people started living in the fabulous little village of Didcot, around about 90 kilometres west of London, as early as 9,000 years ago. Rob Mansfield, Director of Archaeology at RPS Planning, said that one of the most important discoveries was hundreds of flints dating to the Mesolithic period. These were working flints used around a campfire about 9,000 years ago. Oxford Archaeology's project manager Steve Lawrence added the site demonstrates about 1,000 years of continuous settlement. We're learning more and more about the Mesolithic, and this idea that they were always on the move seems to be crumbling before our eyes. Investigations in 2011 unearthed finds including a complete Neolithic bowl from about 3,600 BCE. And excavations in 2012 revealed a rare example of a late Neolithic to early Bronze Age ceremonial pond barrow from 2000 BCE containing arrowheads. The 2.5 year dig has also uncovered the remains of a Roman villa, pieces of Roman pottery featuring a face design, and located a large Iron Age hilltop settlement with about 60 roundhouses. Hundreds of grain storage pits, human burials, domestic rubbish, pottery dumps and animal bones have also been found. The Cornerstone Art Centre in Didcot is staging an exhibition on the dig, which is going to be held between February the 7th and March the 3rd. So that's the Cornerstone Arts Centre if you're anywhere near Didcot, between March the 7th and March the 3rd. Now finally, off to Turkey. The northwestern province of Çanakkale's Ayvacık district is home to one of the most important areas of Turkey's textile industry, famous for kilim carpets produced in different colours and designs. 2,500-year-old loom weights recently found in the ancient city of Assos have brought the district even more fame. Surface surveys showed that there could have been a small weaving workshops in the area next to the ancient theatre. This is according to Professor Arslan, head of the Assos excavations, and the archaeology department chairman of Çanakkale's Onsekitmart University. The weights are of various types. Some of them are round and some of them are cubic. People used even broken ceramic pieces in this period by making a hole in the centre of them. There's even seals, names and descriptions on some of the weights as well. These finds show that the textile industry had been in existence in this region for an incredibly long time. We're looking at 4,500 years now. 2,500 years. Assos was one of the most important ports in ancient time as well. It's mentioned in the Ottoman documents. The most significant find, of course, are the dyes that were appearing as well, which would be used both in the textile industry and to process leather as well. That's fabulous news to see a nice bit of continuity. And on that note, yes, I know it's a very quick archaeology news this week, but that's the way it goes. I may as well just leave you with the shock news that Richard III may or may not have been found under a car park in Leicester. So on that shock news, I would recommend that you pop along to, for lots and lots of great news, to pasthorizonspr.com. That's pasthorizonspr.com. And can I also remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities is available on my own website. That's Badger, www.bajr.org. And more can always be found at the fabulous Stone Pages website, news.stonepages.com. Thanks for listening to the Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you will return to us again next week.